Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Wednesday, June 14th. Do you know what day it is? It's today. It's Sports Day. Hello and welcome to today's show. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. Always open to DMs, feedback, thoughts, comments, just send them my way. And if you don't mind, go to your podcast provider and rate and review the show. Greatly helps me, greatly helps our crew here at Sports Ethos get the show discovered and more eyeballs on us. And also, check out sportsethos.com. That is our website where there's a litany of information. Whether you're into wagering, I'm the head of the wagering group at Sports Ethos, or whether you're into fantasy sports or DFS across all major sports, European basketball, we have F1 coverage, we have podcasts on individual basketball teams, baseball teams, football teams. We have a ton of information there, free information, and obviously some paid products as well, but very reasonable prices. So I highly recommend you go to sportsethos.com. There's definitely something there for you if you're a sports fan, into wagering, into fantasy or DFS. So, big day ahead now that basketball is finished, hockey is finished. It's just baseball and tennis for the foreseeable future. Although, if you know us at Sports Ethos, we're going to have some basketball insights, draft coming up next week. There's going to be plenty of plays on the draft, NFL futures, NBA futures. I'm your college basketball guy, so we're going to end college football. We're going to definitely be looking into that over the summer. So lots of different angles, but baseball and tennis are kind of going to rule the day for the next little while. Before we get to the board tonight, we're going to take a little walk down memory lane with a history of June 14th. The only really notable birthday that I found is Steffi Graf turns 54 today. Steffi Graf from Germany won 22 Grand Slam titles in women's tennis. An incredible, dominant player through the 80s and 90s. So happy birthday to Steffi Graf. On this date in 1969, Reggie Jackson had 10 RBIs in a 21-7 win for Oakland over Boston. 10 ribbies. That is a hell of a number. I'm not sure that's been repeated since. 1974, Nolan Ryan threw 19 strikeouts, but an unbelievably impressive number. But even more impressive, in 13 innings. 13 innings. No starter has gone 13 innings probably in the last 20 or 30 years. I mean, the elite starters of the game these days go 6.5, 7, maybe 8, the odd time you'll get to a full game. He threw 13 innings, and he didn't even get the win. The Anaheim Angels at the time, won 2-1 over Boston in 15 innings. 1990, in the NBA, the Detroit Pistons won 92-90 over Portland in Game 6 to win their second straight NBA championship, and Isaiah Thomas was the MVP. 2 years later, wasn't a good run for Portland. This is the Clyde Drexler era, one of the best players never to win a championship in my mind. 2 years later, 1992, Chicago beat Portland 97-93 in Game 6 to win their second straight back-to-back championship. And Michael Jordan was the MVP in both of those series. 1994, I remember this vividly, Mark Messier led the New York Rangers to a 3-2 win over Vancouver in Game 7. And the Rangers ended their 54-year drought of winning a Stanley Cup. Next year, in 1995, in the NBA, Houston sweeps Orlando to win the championship. In 1998, Chicago back on top again in the NBA, 87-86 winner over Utah, another team that just couldn't get over the hump, the John Stockton, Karl Malone days. The Bulls beat Utah, like I said, 87-86 in game six to win their third straight NBA championship and their sixth in 8 years. That is kind of what you call a dynasty. And Michael Jordan won his third straight MVP and his sixth NBA Finals MVP. Pretty impressive. I guess that's why they call him the GOAT in the NBA. Fast forward to 2007, and San Antonio beat Cleveland 83-82 to sweep the series 4-0, and MVP was Tony Parker of that series. And in 2009, the Lakers beat Orlando in Game 5, 99-86, to win their 15th title. And Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant, was MVP of that game. So a little walk down memory lane for us. Before we get to the board, the NHL season wrapped up tonight, and Vegas won 9-3. I'm not sure, but I got to believe that's the biggest blowout in a clinching game history in the NHL. They beat Florida. They win the cup 4-1. Jonathan Marchessault was the Conn Smythe winner, which is the MVP of the Stanley Cup Finals. And Vegas was clearly the better team. I was on the puck line here, which means they had to win by 1.5, and it was plus 160. So thank you very much, Vegas, for catching that number. But hats off to Vegas. They are the fastest expansion franchise in the NHL, and I think in all of pro sports, to win a championship. They've been competitive since day one, and it's awesome for the sport. I think it's awesome for the sport of hockey, and they've had a good run. They're going to compete next year again, I think. But an impressive run, an impressive win, not just winning the Cup 4-1, but the way they did it and the way they played from the goaltending out, definitely deserved to win this. So great Stanley Cup final. Well, not a great Stanley Cup final. Interesting Stanley Cup final. I'm not sure Florida was the best team in the East, although they beat Boston, who was the best team, and then they beat Toronto, who was the who had beaten Tampa in the first round. So they definitely deserve to be there and earn their right, but I think there's a few other teams in the East that could have given Vegas a better run. But regardless, hats off to the Golden Knights for their first Stanley Cup victory, and I'm sure the party is going on in Vegas right now. Going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get to the Diamond, where there are actually 16 games tomorrow because of a doubleheader, and I'll run through those quickly. Don't have a ton of plays, a few angles, a few leans, but we'll get there in a second.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back. There are 16 games in Major League Baseball today, a doubleheader between the Braves and the Tigers because their game got canceled earlier tonight. And a game between Pittsburgh and the Cubs is currently, I don't see it at any sports book, and probably due to the weather concerns. There's always weather concerns, obviously, in Chicago, wind blowing out, wind blowing in. So likely just going to be handicapping 14 games. We start at 1-11 in the East, where the Braves play the Tigers, a rematch of what should have been tonight. Spencer Strider on the bump for the Braves, and Michael Lorenzen on the bump for the Tigers. I see the home Tigers at plus 190 and the road Braves at minus 230. The run line for the Braves is minus 138. Total here is 8.5. Not really on this game. I might be on the under. It is now up to plus 100, so need the money. Most money's on the under, but I think this when I look at the numbers that come in, it opened at 10. I can't believe this game opened at 10. There's no way that a game with Spencer Strider opens at 10. regardless, right now I'm seeing the juice of the over on 8.5 at -122. So if anything, I'd lean to the under at +100, even money. Spencer Strider could easily shut them down. And Lorenz has been pitching well. Strider comes in 73 2/3, 3.79 ERA, 1.09 whip, 121 strikeouts, been completely dominant. Hit a little lately, but been dominant. And Lorenz in 60 innings, 3.75 ERA, 1.02 whip. He's been good. I'm not really buying it. I like Atlanta to win. Not laying 230, not laying 138, 140 in the money on the run line. So if anything, I would lean to the under of 8.5, getting even money. Next game, we travel to Minnesota, where the Twins host the Brewers. You get the home Twins at -164 in the money line. The road Brewers are +138. Total here is 8.5. And not on this game really either. The starters for the Brewers are Colin Rea. He's pitched 52 1/3 innings, 4.47 ERA, 1.22 whip. And the young Bailey Ober, who's done really well, got hit hard last game, but has had a really good year so far. 51 2/3 innings, 2.61 ERA, 0.97 whip. If anything, I lean towards the Brewers. Minnesota's the best. Sorry, I lean towards Minnesota. But I just can't get to the, you know, laying -164, a little too high for me. When I look at FanDuel, they're laying 155, too high. And +125 on the run line is just a little too high for me as well. I like Minnesota, but Milwaukee is a decent team against righties, terrible team against lefties, but Ober is a righty. So I want to find a way to back Ober in Minnesota, but the numbers are just a little too high here for me. And when I look at the numbers coming in, not a whole lot of value on either side or either way there. Next game in St. Louis, where the Cards host the Giants. You can get the Cards at -138 on the money line and the road Giants at +118. Total here is 8.5, juice to the over at about -115. Not really getting a good feel on this game either, which you will notice. It's kind of the trend tonight. Tomorrow for the games. For St. Louis, Jordan Montgomery, 72 innings, 3.88 ERA, 1.33 whip. Struggled to start the year, has pitched a little better lately. And the Giants are about a league average against lefties, so I don't think there's a real advantage with them. On the other side, and Anthony DeSclafani is on the hill, 76 1/3 innings, 3.89 ERA, 1.13 whip. But just 53 strikeouts, so very much a pitch-to-contact kind of guy at this stage of his career. And the St. Louis bats have been doing well lately. So I like St. Louis to win, but again, I can't drop 138 on the money line, and I'm not about to take the run line at +140. I think they could win, but Montgomery is prone to giving up some big innings and some runs, and I don't really want to play them on the run line as a home team. Next game, 7:06 in the East, we have Baltimore hosting the Jays, an AL East division rivalry in which Baltimore rolled tonight. I actually thought this game was going to go under, and I like Chris Bassett and the Jays, and they clobbered them. I think they won 11-4, 11-3. Baltimore won easy. So you can get, but you still get the road Jays as a favorite at -116, and the home O's at -102. So not quite a coin flip, but pretty close. Total is 8.5, juice to the over at about -120. And if anything, I would lean towards Toronto. Toronto's Jose Berrios on the hill, who has had an up and down year, but seems to right of the ship a bit lately. 77 1/3 innings, 3.61 ERA, 1.23 whip. Pretty decent numbers. 70 strikeouts, just under strikeout inning. And Kyle Bradish on the hill, the righty for Baltimore. 53 innings, 4.25 ERA, 1.36 whip, 51 strikeouts in 53 innings, so just under strikeout inning, or pretty close to it. And I like Berrios. He's been pitching well. I like the Jays offense, but historically, and this is my Jays fandom speaking, they have struggled in Baltimore. And again, they got clobbered tonight in the game. They probably should have won given the pitching matchup. So I like Berrios. Like the way he's kind of righted the ship. You struggled to start the year. You struggled last year. Struggled to start the year. But he's been pitching better lately. Don't know that I want to lay the minus 116 on this. So stay away from me. If anything, I lean towards Jays. And if anything, I would lean – the under is at plus 100. And in Camden Yards, runs can be a challenge, although they weren't tonight. If anything, the over is about minus 120. So obviously money coming in the over. So stay away from me. Pretty much on both sides, more I think of it. Can't really get there. So going to pass. The next game is in Boston, where the Colorado Rockies continue their series. And you can get the road Rockies at plus 188, and a big number. The home Red Sox at minus 225. Total here is 9.5. Just the over at minus 118. And I'm actually surprised at the Rockies. If there's any value here, it's at the Rockies at plus 188. Lefty Austin Gomber's on the hill for Colorado, who has been bad. 60 2/3 innings, 7.57 ERA, 1.75 whip. I looked at playing the Red Sox first five over, and it was at plus 3.5. So, ideally, you want to play 1.5. More often than not, it's 2.5. 3.5, that means Boston has scored 4 runs in the first 5 innings. Can't really back that one. Garrett Whitlock is on the hill for Boston. 32 innings, 4.78 ERA, 1.28 whip, just 6 walks and 26 strikeouts. He's been doing well. Not great, but he's been doing well. But can't lay minus 225 here. The total, 9.5. I looked at that. You know, money's coming in the over. It's only minus 118 on FanDuel. It is minus 115. So money's definitely coming in the over. But I think Whitlock can have a good game. Colorado's brutal on the road, although they won tonight. And if anything, I would lean to the over, but it's a stay away from me. And again, maybe a first five Boston run line or money line, but not a whole lot of value. And as a side note here, welcome to the MLB. I found in the last half dozen years, what happens is in April and May, the lines, you can find a lot of value. You know, the books are adjusting, seeing who's who and what trends are happening. But then as the calendar rolls into June, things really tighten up. And when I mean tighten up, the spreads get bigger. It's a lot harder to bet. Like the Red Sox are the better team, but Whitlock versus Gomber, Whitlock's probably a better pitcher. Gomber struggled, but minus 225 on the Red Sox. There's no way I'm laying minus 225 on the Red Sox. Plus 188 on Colorado. You know, even if this game goes back and forth through the first 4 or 5 innings when the starters are in there, if it's a tie game after 4 or 5 and you've got Colorado plus 188, that's a great number to have in your back pocket. So the trend in Major League Baseball for me over the last half dozen years or so has been you can get some value in the first month or two, and then after that, things start to really – I said tighten up, I think, but the spreads really become – quite high often, and it's really tough to get any value, which is what I'm seeing here. So sometimes you have to pivot to the first five, sometimes you have to pivot to some props or totals, but a lot of games, like if you listen to my show in last week, there have been a lot of games where I like a team, but I just can't back them anywhere close to what they're getting. Anyways, sorry about that ramble, but we move on to the Subway Series, 7-11. In the East, and we have the Yankees at the Mets, and you have Garrett Cole against Justin Verlander. You can get the road Yankees at minus 104, the home Mets at minus 112. Total here is 7.5, and I'm actually on the Yankees here at minus 104, and I'm on the over at 7.5. I got the over earlier at plus 100. On FanDuel right now, you can get it at minus 104. I'm not seeing this game on DraftKings for some reason. There it is. It's -105. The total is -105. So I got the Yankees at -104 on the money line, and the total over 7.5 at +100 on FanDuel. When we look at the pitchers, obviously Gerrit Cole has been doing very well. I actually think he's the Cy Young leader right now for the AL. 85 2/3, 2.84 ERA, 90 strikeouts, and 1.14 WHIP, and a 7-1 record. Flip side is Verlander, who's injured but has come back and has really struggled since he's been back. 39 innings, 4.85 ERA, 1.33 WHIP. And I think that's kind of the story here. Cole's pitching better than Verlander. I know the Yankees lineup is depleted. The Mets are missing Alonso, which definitely hurts. But I think Cole can shut down anybody, so he can shut down the Mets. And Verlander's been pitching brutal in the last few weeks, or last few games, since he's been back, basically. He's really struggled. I don't know. We hate to say this about a guy. Is this the end? Is the end coming? I'm not really sure. But when I look at his numbers, his last outing against Atlanta, they lost 13-10. Okay, Atlanta's a good team, but that's a lot. Three innings, seven hits, five runs, four earned, one home run, four walks, three strikeouts. Four walks is not Justin Verlander of old. Prior to that, against Toronto, they lost 3-0, six innings, five hits, one run, one earned run, three walks, eight strikeouts. Prior to that, at Colorado, which is a tough place to play, but they lost 10-7, five innings, nine hits, six earned runs, no home runs, a walk, and two strikeouts. He has struggled, and I don't think he's his JV of old, so I'm backing the Yankees at a decent price, and I think runs are going to be scored. I think the Yanks can get to him, even with their depleted lineup, they can get to him for three or four, and I think the Mets can get to Cole for a few as well. So if both teams can get to three, someone's got to win, we get to four or five, we cover this number. So I'm on the Yankees at -104, and I'm on the total over. I got a +100. I probably 7.5. I got a +100. I probably play it anywhere to -110. Next game is in Texas, the battle of lefties. Reed Detmers goes for the Angels, and for Texas, you have lefty Andrew Heaney. You can get the home Rangers -134, the road Angels at +114. Total here is 9, juice to the over at about -120. Some money obviously coming in the over. Detmers finally got his first win. 1-5 in the year, 56 1/3 innings, 4.79 ERA, 1.51 WHIP, 61 strikeouts in 56 1/3 innings. And he has definitely underperformed his peripherals. His high-level stats look brutal, but he has pitched well. He's just been a victim of bad BABIP and some poor defense behind him, but he's not getting the wins. On the other hand, Andrew Heaney is 4-4 for the Rangers, 63 innings, 4.14 ERA, 1.25 WHIP, 65 strikeouts, but also 27 walks. Kind of doing his Andrew Heaney thing. His walks are a little high. He's been hot and cold for sure. But Texas's lineup has slowed down. One of the best offenses in baseball, obviously. And when you look at them against lefties, they've slowed down a little bit against lefties, both these teams. So when I pull up the chart on batting average against lefties, Texas is fifth, 289. And the Angels are eighth, 267. When I go to on-base percentage, Texas is first at 361, and the Angels are 10th, 334. Slugging percentage, the last of the triple slash lines, Texas against lefties, 461, and the Angels, 434. So if anything, I think both pitchers can be had here. I think both teams will get to them, and that is why the number, when I look at the number of total is 9, juiced to the over at -122. So obviously money is coming in the over. Although when I look at the splits, it's about total 9.5. So it's come down a little. 45% of the money is 45% of the bets is on the under, 56% of the money. So a slight lean to the bigger money coming in on the under. I'd actually lean to the over. And a bit of a reverse splits number there because you're not really getting any value on the over at FanDuel. But hold on, I looked at DK, looked at DraftKings, and the over 9.5, sorry, it's juiced up to 9.5, is -105. I think I might even lean there. I'm not gonna play over 9 at -122. So shop around for that. If you can get it over 9 at -115 or better, definitely take that. On DraftKings is 9.5 at -105. I might look to that. I just think both teams are hitting well and both teams can get to these lefties. And probably some value on the over there. Next game, we are on to Kansas City, where the Royals host the Reds. You can get the home Royals at -106. You can get the road Reds at -110. So basically, coin flip on DraftKings. You can get the Royals +100 or the Reds at -120. And I actually got earlier, I got Cincinnati in the money line at -110 on FanDuel. So that line is, on FanDuel. So it's -110, still -110 on FanDuel. I got the Reds at -110 on FanDuel. And I also got the Reds first five over 2.5 at +103. So I think the Reds can get over 2.5 runs in the first five innings. Got that at +103. And the reason is purely the pitching matchup here, purely the pitchers here. You can get the Reds on the money line, like I said, at -110 and KC at -106. And I'm actually surprised it's even this close. Ben Lively starts for Cincinnati, who pitched well his first few games, so struggled lately, but I think going against Kansas City and Kansas City could right the ship. 36 in the third innings, 4.21 ERA, 1.13 whip. Daniel Lynch, on the other hand, lefty for KC, 16 to third innings, 4.41 ERA, 1.47 whip. He has really struggled. 17 strikeouts, which is impressive, but he's just been putting too many balls in play. He's been hit hard every game. And I think Cincinnati can get to Lynch to put some runs on the board. When I look at pulling up their number, not their numbers, but numbers against lefties. Cincinnati is a good but not great team. Their batting average, .267 against lefties. So that puts them seventh overall. On-base percentage versus lefties, .333. That puts them 11th overall. And slugging, where they struggle a little bit more, but they've got some more power in the lineup, .405 against lefties. And that puts them 19th overall. So batting average, on-base percentage above average, slugging percentage a little below average against lefties. But Daniel Lynch has really struggled. So I think they can get to him. I think they can get to him early. And I like them to win the game. So I got them on the money line, and I like them to get to him in the first five. Next game is in Houston, where the Astros host the Nationals. And we get the home Astros at -250 in the money line. The road Nats at +210. Total here is 7.5. Juicy under at -115. If anything, I'll lean towards the over. That's just such a low number. I know Framber Valdez is on the hill for Houston. Very good pitcher. He's a lefty, but the Nats tend to hit lefties decent. And Josiah Gray is on the hill for Washington, and he's really struggling. I think he struggled with consistency. So this year, Gray's pitched 72 innings, 3.00 ERA, but 1.40 whip, 37 walks. So he's basically a walking guy every second batter. And that's not going to work against Houston. Valdez comes in 2.36 ERA over 84 innings and a 1.06 whip, 89 strikeouts. So striking out more than a batter in an inning. And I just think that Washington hits lefties well, so they might be able to get to him for a few runs. And I think Houston can definitely get to Gray. Patient team, experienced batters. the way he's walking guys, the way he's putting guys on base, I think he can get some runs. So 7.5 is a little low. I know it's juice to the under. Is it moving down even more? If it does, wait till the morning. I would jump on the over here. Next game is in, where are we here? San Diego, where the Guardians are in town to play the Padres. You can get the home Padres at minus 160 on the money line. The road Guardians at plus 135. Totaler is 8, juicy under at minus 115. And just pulling this game up here. Sorry, trying to find the pitching matchup. Okay, there we go. And we have for the home Padres, minus 158 in the money line. The Guardians, plus 134. Total here is 8. Just slightly to the under, minus 115. It's money coming in on the under. And I kind of agree with that. On the bump for the Padres is Michael Walker, who's been having a great year. 6-2 record, 68 innings, 3.18 ERA, 1.09 whip. Everybody's calling for regression, but it doesn't seem to be happening yet. Aaron Civale is coming back from the injured list, 23 and a third innings, 2.31 ERA, 1.07 whip. So his numbers are decent. I'm not a Civale fan. So I lean San Diego here, not a minus 160. And even on the run line at home, minus 130, not going to be backing them there. Next game is in Seattle, where the Marlins are in town. And this is a very, not even a low-key pitching matchup. This is probably a pitching matchup of the day. Marlins come in as plus 164 in the money line. The home M's minus 196. Total here is 7, hence the pitching matchup. And it's juiced to the under at minus 115. And I definitely can't be backing that. I think it'll be a pitcher's duel, but not really sure I want to go the under. So I'm going to stay away. But for Miami, young Yuri Perez is on the hill. 29 innings, 2.17 ERA, 1.21 whip, 30 strikeouts, so better than strikeout and inning. And Luis Castillo is on the hill for the Mariners. 76 2/3, 2.7 ERA, 0.99 whip, 92 strikeouts. He's been having a good year. Didn't do his usual cold for the month of April and May and then heat up. He's basically been hot all year long, although his record's only 4-4. I like Castillo, I like the Mariners here, but not. There's no way I'm laying minus 196. Their bats have not been that impressive. Heated up a little, but not that impressive, and I'm not laying almost 200. So stay away for me. 940 in the East. We go to Arizona, where the D-backs are hosting the Phillies again. You get the home D-backs minus 142, the road Phillies at plus 120, 8.5 is the total, juice to the under at minus 115. For the Phillies, you get lefty Ranger Suarez on the hill, 30 2/3, 4.7 ERA, 1.43 whip, and you get Merrill Kelly on the bump for Arizona, the righty. Nice record, 8-3, 77 innings, 2.92 ERA, 1.10 whip. I like Arizona, not at minus 142. Phillies at plus 120, total here is 8.5. I think both teams can put some runs up, so I'm going to stay away from that. And if anything, there's some value on the Phillies. Ranger Suarez is a decent pitcher. His numbers don't look, fantastic right now. This year, but the last year and a half, last year he kind of struggled. Part of that, he had a good year. He's a decent pitcher, and at plus 120, there's probably some value. I like Arizona, I like Merrill Kelly to win, but not laying minus 142. So just too much to lay for me. Second last game that is on the board for us tonight is the red hot Oakland A's. Winners of what, 7 straight now, I think they beat Tampa again tonight, are hosting Tampa. You can get Tampa minus 275 in the money line, the home A's at plus 225, total here is 8.5, juice to the over at minus 122. And for Tampa, you get Brady Tyler Glasnow on the hill, 15 2/3, just coming back. from Tommy John, I think it was. 2.87 ERA, just 7 walks, 20 strikeouts, 1.09 whip, showing his dominant self again. Versus Luis Medina, the righty for Oakland, 34 2/3, 7.53 ERA, 1.56 whip. You got to like Oakland, but not a minus 275. And, oh, sorry, you got to like Tampa, but not a minus 275. And I think maybe a, when I try to pull up the innings, I'm thinking we're going to get a first five inning total of another one of those plus 3.5s, which I'm not really going to be on. So Tampa first five innings, over 2.5, minus 130. Might kind of back that, but Tampa's bats have slowed down a little. So if anything, I would look maybe half unit on that. I like Tampa, not at minus 275. And on the road run line, not at minus 162. There's no way I'm laying a minus 162 run line. So maybe the first five innings, over 2.5 is the bet to make. Last game of the night is in LA, where the last game on the docket that I have is in Los Angeles, where we get the home Dodgers minus 275. Favorites, the road Chicago White Sox plus 225. Total is 8.5, just the over at minus 114. If anything, I would look towards the under, minus 106 right now on FanDuel and minus 115. On DraftKings, so definitely look towards FanDuel. For the White Sox, we got Mike Clevenger, 58 innings, 4.19 ERA, 1.38 whip, 24 walks, just walking too many guys, and 48 strikeouts. Not a pitch-to-contact pitcher, but not getting a ton of strikeouts. On the other hand, we have Clayton Kershaw, the lefty for the Dodgers, 76 in the third innings, 2.95 ERA, 1.09 whip. 93 strikeouts, been doing very well. If anything, I would look to maybe a Kershaw K prop here, but I think they get up early. Their run line, which was plus money tonight, plus 110, which was nice to get, is at minus 134. Can't lay minus 134 on a run line with the home team, so gonna avoid that. I like LA. Maybe a Kershaw strikeout prop is the way to go. So that wraps up the games in the Major League Baseball. 16 games. We only had 14. We're missing the second game of the Atlanta-Detroit doubleheader. And the Pittsburgh-Chicago Cubs game in Wrigley is not on the board yet, obviously weather permitting. So hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you got some leans, some angles, some thoughts. And some ideas that you can make money, we can make money, and we can have a good day in sports betting.